You are listening to Sunday Lunch with Brendan McCarthy here on Express FM, and I'm joined in the studio today by Roger from the Bench Theatre. They'll be performing Abigail's Party at the Spring Arts Centre in Havant later this week. Welcome to studio, Roger.
Good afternoon to you, Brendan.
Abigail's Party by Mike Lee. It's a bit of a classic, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And for those of us who maybe aren't familiar with the story, give us a little bit of a flavour about what the show's about.
OK, with no spoilers, of
with
course.
With no spoilers.
Absolutely. Well, Abigail's Party is a glorious two-act comedy, tragicomedy, as Mike Lee likes to style it, but it is very funny, in which Abigail doesn't appear. So, number one, let's park the fact that there's no Abigail in Abigail's Party. Abigail is a teenager who's having a party, and her mum is not welcome there. So Beverly and Lawrence, the main characters, are throwing their own party and invite Susan along, Abigail's mum, so that she doesn't have to be at Abigail's party. Also at the party are Tony and Angela, who are a couple new to the area. And as the evening progresses, so the marriages tend a little bit to unravel, and there's a lot of alcohol involved, and a great deal of laughter and a few tears. It's just a cracking piece of theatre.
And the characters aren't really known to each other, are they?
No.
So that makes a real good kind of melting pot, and
absolutely,
it redevelops as the show goes on.
Absolutely. And there's also, as with a lot of Mike Lee's work, there's the class divide going on there as well. You've got in Lawrence somebody who is working class to lower middle class, who wants to improve his lot. And, you know, he likes art and he likes classical music, etc. Whereas his wife is very much into Donna Summer and Demis Roussos. So you have that class war thing still very much evident. And don't forget, I mean, in 1977, in which this play was set, this was a time where we were starting to break free of the constraints of post-war austerity and starting to embrace a new modern world. Cuisine was suddenly becoming much more interesting, and, you know, foreign travel was something that people were starting to do, going trips to Spain. And there was a sense that The war babies had grown up to a point where they were then settling down. That's something that bothered Mike Lee about, you know, has he betrayed his roots by settling down? And so he got all these characters, threw them in the melting pot and saw what actually happened to them.
And you were talking about the 70s setting. That's quite an important thing for this piece, because there's a nice historical connection, isn't there, between your performance and the show itself?
Absolutely. Well, back in the beginning of 1977, Mike Lee was not interested in writing a play at all. He was indeed working for the BBC Play for Today series, which is a piece of legendary television, much missed by many of us. And out of the blue, he gets a telephone call from Michael Rudman and David Orkin, who ran the Hampstead Theatre at that time. And here is a story to make modern theatre owners weep. They were in desperate trouble. You see, they had made too much money. And you know, this is absolutely true. They had made too much money. And as a result, if they didn't get another play thrown into the mix, they'd have to hand back a great chunk of their funding back to government, which of course they didn't want to do. So they said to Mike Lee, come in, do a play, we don't care what it is, do an improvised piece, and, you know, and you'll cover our backs. And Mike Lee said, I do not want to do this at all. Anyway, they bought him a very nice lunch, and he went home and he spoke to his wife Alison Steadman and said, look, it'll just be a stopgap. It'll be dead and dusted within a few weeks. Nobody will ever remember it. Well, on the 18th of April 1977, Abigail's Party opened to rave reviews and became a massive hit. They had to stage it a second time at Hampstead later on in the year. They did over 140 performances. Seven West End management firms were interested in a transfer to the West End. And then Alison Steadman fell pregnant. And Mike Lee said, well, there's no way am I recasting it. There's no way am I going to do a transfer with you pregnant. So the lovely lady, Margaret Matheson, at the BBC Play for Today producer, said, well, come and do it on television. And that's how it got on television so quickly. It was repeated twice. And on one occasion, ITV was on strike and there was a terrible storm. So nobody was going out that particular night. And of course, in those days, there were three channels. And that ended up with 16 million people watching Abigail's Party. So it became very much a great thing to celebrate, this supposed stopgap that Mike Lee wasn't at all interested in. The point of all of that is that we open on the 18th of April, 47 years after the first performance.
There's a lovely historical connection, and the fact that Mike Lee didn't really want to do it, and yep, it's probably his best known work.
Yes.
And it launched the careers of some amazing actors like Alison Steadman. It's amazing.
Isn't it just? Isn't it?
You're playing Lawrence.
Yes.
What have you enjoyed most about playing Lawrence?
Oh, the fact that he's such a neurotic, career-obsessed snob, really. So it wasn't really much of an acting role for me at all. But he is so tightly wound. He's having just the most miserable life. He really is. He's married to somebody he can't stand. His job is so on the knife edge because, ladies and gentlemen, he has the most exciting job that you could have in the 1970s. Yes, he was an estate agent.
Well, that was that. I mean, that is even now, if you've got estate agents listening, that is quite a high flying job.
Yes, of course it is, Brendan. Yes, yes. No offence to anybody else out there that happens to be an estate agent, but he's living on the commission and the next sale, and of course the play opens with the fact that he cannot get the key to a property that he's trying to sell, so he has to telephone this lovely character called Mr. O'Halligan, who isn't in the play at all. He's just on the end of a phone to track down this key so that somebody else can go and see it, and therefore he has to schmooze this other lady to say, look, I've now got the key, and all the rest of that. So he's totally focused on work, and the one thing he does not want or need in his life is a party. And dear Beverly, his wife, wants a party. She wants the social life. She wants to be happy around people and people to be happy around her. Now, that sometimes manifests itself in her becoming overbearing. But is she a monster, as some have played her, or is she just vulnerable and sad and a bit lost, which is one of the things that Mike Lee favoured in terms of interpretation. Now, Sarah Ash, who's playing Beverly, captures that vulnerability beautifully. And of course, she will have you rolling with laughter in the aisles as well, because she's a consummate actor and it's been a pleasure to work with her. But she's got all of that, which is terrific, rather than just the sort of the 2D version of just being a monster and being a bully and all the rest of it. She isn't. She's much more subtle performance than that. You've got Joe Caulfield and Craig, who are playing Angela and Tony, who are the newcomers to the area. And he's a computer programmer and she's a nurse, and they're very much a down-to-earth working class couple who've got their house and they're starting out on life. Their marriage is a bit rocky, but I think they stand a much better chance of making it than Lawrence and Beverly ever had, in truth. Joe is particularly funny in one sequence. They get up and dance, and I'll say no more. You've just got to come and see it for that moment.
What's the experience been like working with the cast? Are you finding that even backstage people are adopting their onstage personas?
It would be terribly cruel to say yes, wouldn't it?
It would.
It would. So, yes. No. They're a very professional bunch of people. It has been riotously funny putting this play together. But they are professional in their outlook. They're professional in what they deliver. And I've really had to step up my game to be able to compete with these brilliant actors. It's been enormous fun. And that really is a tribute to them. But let's not forget Alan Ward, who has directed this play, who's directed many other great successes that the Bench Theatre has done, Equus and Death of a Salmon, to name but two. is now turning his hand to comedy and has such a deft sense of timing of how to help us really draw the comedy out of it without losing the humanity. Because you see, this isn't a play with jokes in it. This is about, it's observational humour. It's about the people and the tragedy or relative tragedies of their lives. I mean, great comedy does that. Think about Fawlty Towers. I mean, Basil Fawlty is a classic tragic character caught in a terrible life. We just happen to find it very, very funny because of the way that it's put across to us. And Alan's sense of space and timing and blocking, i.e. where we're on stage at the time, is extremely good, and it has been a real pleasure to work for him.
It's a brilliant play. I'm sure I watched it at school, part of a text we had to look at, and I've definitely seen it a few times, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very excited to see it. So remind us, when is the show on again?
Right, now we open on the 18th of April, and it runs on the 18th, 19th and 20th, which is the Saturday. There's a matinee at 2:30 on the Saturday. All evening shows start at 7:30. And then the following week, we run from the 24th to the 27th. And that's just evening shows again at 7:30 at the Spring Arts and Heritage Centre in dear old Havant.
And people can get tickets on the Spring Arts Centre website?
Yes, that's very much the best way to do it.
And before we go, you've been involved with Bench for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always looking for new members.
Yes.
How can new people get involved and get in touch?
Well, one of the great things about the Bench is there's no nonsense about auditioning or seeking other people's approval in order to become a member. If you are prepared to commit to being involved in a production, pitch up, pay your fee, your membership fee, and you can be involved. Obviously, if you want to act in a play, there is an audition for that specific play. But there's so much more to theatre than just acting. And stage management is a real art that needs to be done properly. And it's a very underrated art as well, because if what's happening backstage is chaotic, nothing good will ever happen on the stage itself. Lighting designers, sound technicians, we have a really good setup at the Bench in terms of lighting and sound. You can do so much with it. Painting with light, it's a glorious experience to indulge in. So if you have any interest in any of that, come along, because you will add to the great wealth of talent that I believe already exists in the Bench. So please come along to one of our club nights. Have a look on our website, thebench.co.uk. Come along to one of our club nights and we'd be very happy to see you. But always, always happy to have new members.
Well, break a leg for the performance.
Thank you.
I'm sure I'll be along one of the evenings. I'm really looking forward to it.
Good.
I've been speaking to Roger, who is playing Lawrence in the upcoming production of Abigail's Party at the Spring Arts Centre, which opens this Thursday. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you very much, Brendan.